We have Ray Ferraro on the line, our TSN hockey analyst, and I'm wondering where Ray's at.
Well, he's probably back in Van because he's not golfing today in L.A. or in Vegas.
Well, he might be. Where are you right now?
I'm back home. I was on the 6:40 flight after the sweepola, and I'm back home until Friday morning, and then I go to, where am I going? I'm going to Washington for Game 5 of Columbus, Washington.
Was that like a quick turnaround? Like you watch, because L.A. had a pretty big push, but then, you know, Flower makes a good save at the end, and they sweep. Everyone's cheering for Vegas and that. You're on your phone changing your flight?
We have to put the flights in before the game.
Okay.
I would say I interviewed Fleury, and within 4 minutes after that, I had emailed the travel lady back east and said, make sure you got me on that 6:40. And I mean, there's no point hanging around, right? There's like, series is over, time to move. And so I got home, and I didn't know what I had, if I had anything coming up. And I landed here in Vancouver, and there's an email, Game 5 in Washington Saturday at 3:00 Eastern, don't be late. So, because nice. It's a good thing they wrote 3, you know, at the time there, because I don't know what I would have thought. I would have thought the game was at 7 and would have been late or something.
What do you make of at least one website having Vegas now as the Stanley Cup favorites?
That might be a little bit of a leap. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they come up with the favorites, but so I guess you would look at it, okay, they're the first team to win. They only gave up 3 goals. Nobody's going to be able to beat that. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess you can. I don't know. They can't be the Stanley Cup favorites to me. I mean, they played a perfect series. It's going to be tough to do that again.
No, I'm with you. I wouldn't either, just based on my own logic if I'm picking. But I could see how they're trying to calculate this or formulate this in Vegas, because first of all, they're trying to take advantage of all the buzz where all of a sudden gamblers are going to be starting to hammer them because they're thinking this is basically a movie that's unveiling here. But also, I think Winnipeg and Nashville are better teams, but I don't know who's winning that series.
Right.
Where they're looking at it, and I'm sure Vegas is thinking, and not the Golden Knights, the bookies are thinking, I think Vegas can get to a conference final. I don't know which of Winnipeg or Nashville is going to get
Will be left over if that was a war.
Exactly. Too. So how do I place one of those teams or both of those teams with better odds when one of them's definitely going home in the next round?
I find it, you know, like they won so quickly. I would say there's a tendency to overlook what is going to be the next series, which is not going to look anything like the LA series. San Jose's faster. They're a different team. I think they play closer to what Vegas does. Like that's going to be a more challenging series. Not that they waltzed through. Hell, they won 4-1 goal games. But I think San Jose's a bigger threat. I picked San Jose to go to the conference final when we sent in our guesses there. And as always, I picked San Jose, and I always shake my head at myself. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? They always let you down. But I picked them again. I think if they should get through Anaheim, I think they'll beat Vegas.
Yeah, well, it's San Jose looks really good, but here's my thing when it comes to Vegas is I've just picked wrong the whole time. Like I didn't think they were going to be that good this year. I thought they were going to tail off. Didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. They make the playoffs. I thought they were going to have a tough time against L.A., and they just continue to. And I said this earlier, Ray, I don't know. I'm not a big believer in, like, destiny and stuff like that, but just you take a look at their season and how it started with the, you know, the tragedy of the 58 people being murdered and you know, Derek Eglin's. I mean, here's a guy who's a local Vegas resident. He has to make that speech in their first ever game. I mean, it's just everything that Vegas has touched this season has worked, even to the point where they were down to their 4th-string goalie, and he found a way to get wins.
Yeah, I met the Noodles. I met the junior kid, Dylan Ferguson, last night. He's up there.
He was their fifth-string goalie from Kamloops who got 10 minutes against Edmonton when they were down 8-1 or whatever it was.
He told me that he was sitting in a Boston Pizza with his team, and he saw, I forget which goalie that was, Dansk maybe got
Oscar
hurt.
Oscar Dansk, yep.
And 2 hours later, he was on a flight going to New York because he had to back up. He's in a Boston Pizza, and then he's, you know, he's 19 years old. He's playing in Kamloops. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're now, we got to sign you to an NHL contract and get on a plane, and we'll figure it out when we get there. Like, it's all been crazy for them. I interviewed Gerard Gallant 4 times, and I know him a little bit, so I talked to him, you know, on the off days and stuff. And anytime we talked about the team, he kept repeating the same thing. And he said, I just want them to play the way that we like to play. Because I'd ask him about matchups, and he'd say something, and then he'd go, I just want my guys to play the way we want to play. Wow. And so, like, they never deviated from it. And, like, they checked L.A. into the ground. L.A. started so good last night, and then as the game went on, they're like, oh, they don't have enough. Like, L.A. doesn't have enough energy. They don't have enough push. They don't have and Vegas just keeps skating and skating. If you watch the last 6 or 7 minutes, it's like they've got 10 guys in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for L.A. to go. And it wasn't that they were sitting back. They just skated it. They took such good angles. They attacked the puck. There was nowhere to go. And then when they made a rare breakdown, like Kopitar made an all-world play. He was kind of the only guy in the zone, and somehow he came out of the corner. He deked a couple guys, and then he was 20 feet in front of Fleury, and Fleury made that save, and then the Brown one that you referenced, Noodles, right at the end. Like, there wasn't much at the end, but Fleury was there for them. They just pulled the life out of that building last night. It was very impressive to watch.
Well, as for Toronto, we're going into Game 4 tomorrow night, and we played a clip from Bruce Cassidy, the head coach of the Bruins, in the previous hour, where he was really, really complimentary of Mitch Marner. I mean, pumping his tires to the point where you're like, are you his agent or, like, related to this guy? And I was a bit surprised because of where we're at in the series. I mean, it's 2-1. There's a big game tomorrow night. And, like, I can't picture his counterpart doing that. I can't picture Babcock. Like, maybe about Bergeron because he feels like he's invested in Bergeron's career with the Olympics and all that. And maybe Marchand to an extent.
His drivetrain.
Yeah, exactly. His drivetrain. He'd give all the standard kind of cliches.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, Cassidy was like, oh, he's been the most dominant player against us. He's been great. I really enjoy watching him play. It was like a really well thought out, even keeled answer. I was surprised by that. I mean, were you surprised? I don't know if you've heard it, but
I haven't heard it. I'm just, as you're listening, I'm like, I am a little bit surprised. Like, why would you even say anything? I mean, wouldn't you just say, obviously the kid's a terrific player, you know, and we're going to try and take as much time away from him as we can. Like, why would you say anything else?
Yeah.
I know I wouldn't anyway, but maybe he feels it doesn't, look, he is what he is, and whether Cassidy speaks well of him or not doesn't particularly matter. Like, if Mike Babcock chooses not to say David Pastrnak's a great player, do you think Pastrnak cares? He doesn't care what Mike Babcock thinks. He's a great player. And I'm sure Marner would be the same way. It's nice to hear, sure. But, you know, I don't think it's like, you know, Marner goes, oh, yeah, they think I'm great. Now I'm going to play better. I think, you know, he's plenty confident enough.
Well,
we need anyone else to help him out.
We were wondering, and Noodles brought this up, if maybe there would be a reaction from a guy like Austin Matthews who would hear the opposing coach say, yeah, Marner's been the most difficult matchup for us. Man, look at him playing. Look at him rolling. And if maybe Matthews would take that as a challenge.
He might, or he might also, I mean, if we're sitting here trying to figure out what the heck he's talking about, maybe he's, you know, maybe he does that to make sure his team is hyper aware of what he thinks of Marner.
Yeah, there's always something where in the back of, like, to me it just looked like Cassidy was just being matter of fact. Like, it almost sounded like he was sitting at a bar having a beer with whoever was interviewing him, and just, yeah, he's a good player, he's this and that, like, and it was very honest and very refreshing. But in a playoff series, I don't think Babcock would ever do that. I think Cassidy could have gotten away with just saying, yeah, he's a really good player, we're trying to beat him right now. Ask me after the series, and I'll tell you all you want to know about Mitch Marner. And it just, Like, I didn't know if he was trying to, if there's a mind game involved or a jolt for his own players saying, hey, you know, be aware with 16. Because in that first game, even on the power play, I think that it did a real good job of taking away Marner's options and saying, okay, Tuukka, you've got the shot type of thing. And, you know, Marner has been able to break through and get some points, but I think the Bruins are well aware of what he can do.
Well, I don't know how they can't be. That's the thing. Like, so if Cassidy says great things about him or crappy things about him, like, in this day, we, you know, each team has such detailed scouting reports. Everybody knows everything about the other team. Hell, we knew most of everything about the other team, Noodles, with our scouting reports. And we never had the comprehensive stuff that they've got now. So I don't know why he would do it. I don't think it matters one way or the other. I just know that I wouldn't have done it. I would have said, I think it would have been complimentary. Yeah, the kid's a great player, but you know, we're gonna do our best to shut him down. Like, that would have been it.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate the candor. It's great for us. It's great content. And I've been impressed with Cassidy's whole demeanor. Like, I thought what he said a couple of nights ago about the Riley Nash puck over the glass penalty, that turns out it should not have been a penalty. It hit the glass. The Leafs got really lucky there. I thought the way he described it and explained his conversation with the refs after the game, very reasonable. And quite frankly, I totally agree with him. He said, in a moment like that, don't guess. You know, err on the side of caution. And, like, that's a big moment in the game, albeit early in the game.
Right.
But he said, obviously, they were guessing because they got it wrong. You know? Like, they got it wrong, and they all convened.
Yeah.
And he wasn't frothing at the mouth. He wasn't pulling a Bruce Boudreaux.
Yeah, like Brucey's.
I think my face would have looked like Bruce's.
Yeah, Brucey. How about Brucey got to a couple night? Shades of red yesterday.
Somebody said this once, and I every time he loses a screw on the bench, I think of this. Someone said, his face turns a color that Crayola hasn't invented yet. and last night, he's 100% right. Like they botched a really key call. And then, of course, to make matters worse, Morrissey is terrific after that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're obviously undermanned without Suter and without Parise, and you know, and then, you know, I don't see any way Morrissey doesn't get suspended for this.
He has to.
I can see why Boudreaux was losing his mind. I mean, I'm like, absolutely.
Well, let's hear the comment again. Boudreaux postgame. If you missed it, Josh Morrissey, he cross-checked Eric Staal in the neck. In the first period, the Wild were on the power play anyway. It was 0-0 at that point. And as we know, the Jets went on to win the game last night. They're up 3-1 in the series. Here's what Boudreaux said about that specific play.
My take is it's the same take that everybody in the building saw it, as the refs looked at it and they decided not to call it because we were already on the power play. Cost us the game.
See, I really don't like that last comment, Ray. I really don't like the message you're sending your own team that cost you the game. It was a massive play, but it was in the first period. It was 0-0. Like, that didn't cost you the game.
Yeah, but see, they've worked on this us against the world because they've been such a heavy underdog in the series, and they've gone to that time and time again. I find that is he's just basically talking about the officials, and he's not... I don't think he's slagging his team. I don't think he's, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. I think he's as politely as he can so he doesn't get fined huge. He's going after the officials as much as he can.
So you think he's campaigning to make sure that Morrissey gets suspended?
And that they're not doing that in game five.
Right.
Because honestly, if the official did see it, and we hear all the time, oh, let the players, you know, we don't like too many penalties, let the players decide the game. There used to be a lot of talk about, not so much anymore, about managing the game. I'm sure that's all rattling around in Bruce's head as he's doing that press conference. Because there's no way it's not a penalty to start with. And if Doughty gets suspended, as he should have been, for hitting Carrier in the head, then Morrissey should be suspended for cross-checking a guy in the neck head. There should be no debate.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, the NHL, I can't even imagine what their explanation would be if they don't suspend him. Like, it's a cross check to the head. I don't care if he meant to do it, if he didn't mean to do it. Every single player said, Nazem Kadri came out afterwards and said, I didn't mean to do that. Like, it doesn't matter what the player says. It doesn't matter what Paul Maurice says.
Wouldn't you like to meet the first guy, Hazy, that goes, yeah, I tried to do that.
I know.
It didn't work out very well.
Dale Hunter didn't mean to lay out Pierre Turgeon. Yeah. Remember, he said he thought the game was still going on.
Yeah, he thought the puck was in the corner.
He didn't know. What he said was he didn't know the puck went in the net.
Right.
He didn't notice the 17,000 people cheering or the horn going off.
Or the celebration from Turgeon.
Yeah, Turgeon's arms were in the air, and that's when he decided to bury him.
If you decide to look at that again, watch Rich Pilon, because when the initial pile lands on top of Hunter, Richie's one of our defensemen. He came from the blue line, and he went WWE over the top turnbuckle. It is a flying leap. You see this 47 come over the pile. It's like an airplane. I don't know what he was going to do when he got there, but man, he came in hot.
It was
as you can expect. I mean, that's one of the dirtiest hits in the history of sports.
It was
any
awful.
Sport.
It was awful. But Hunter just
isn't that the best explanation? I didn't know it went in. I'm just finishing my check. This game's going soft.
And it couldn't have been against a nicer guy, eh?
Yeah.
Jamie?
Turge is such a gentleman. That's what he is. He's just a kind person. And
I saw him yesterday because he works with the Kings now. And so we were talking for a minute. And I said, hey, Turge, you can still pass, eh? Because he's out there on the ice with the guys. And he said, yeah, I don't have to worry about anybody cutting my sticks anymore. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I know it was you. This was 20 years ago. I told him, I know who did it, but it wasn't me.
Yeah, That's the famous line. Like, I didn't do it, but I know who did it.
Right.
And I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't believe you. I said, well, it might have been me, but I know who did it for sure.
Yeah. You're just as bad as Paul Maurice and Drew Doughty and Kadri. You guys are all the same, you hockey players.
We're all innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never classic. Done anything wrong, ever.
Brilliant.
Well, anyway.
Which, by the way, with the wooden, this is a total aside, with the old wooden sticks, the trick was you'd peel off very carefully the sticker down by the, where the blade
by the heel,
started.
By the blade.
And you'd cut it about halfway through, and then you'd put the sticker back on really carefully. So the guy couldn't tell it was, but you couldn't cut it too much because it would wobble around. And so it had to be enough to hold in place so when he went to shoot it, the stick would break and he'd fall on his face. Nothing better. I loved it.
Isn't it amazing that for like 85 years, played with wooden sticks?
Wooden sticks, yes.
Wooden sticks.
And Turge had this Victoriaville. I don't know, Ray, were you using Victoriaville or Titan?
Titan. The Victoriaville, the one he used, it was like a Bodor. It was a terrible stick.
Yeah, your straight blade. And
he got 150 or 125 or 30 points. He had 55 or 6 goals. It was like, amazing skills, that guy.
I'm just watching it right now. Like the fact that Hunter says that he didn't know the puck went in. The hit happens on the hash marks. Turge is circled back already. And Hunter runs him through the boards and separates his shoulder. And yeah. It is.
And even look in the background, Noodles, like all the fans are up cheering. It's like he just decided, oh, well, series is over. I'll fix this guy.
Yeah, because it wasn't it like 4-1 or 5-1 or something at that point? Yeah, like the game was over.
No, it was bigger. I think it was 8-4,
oh,
actually.
Really?
Okay. You know what? And he got 21 games.
Back then.
He got suspended for 21 games.
Well, that was early in the Bettman administration, too, wasn't it? Wasn't that like the first suspension he ever handed out or something
that? And the news was, oh, man, they're going to really take all of this stuff really seriously. And then before long, you lop off a guy's ear and you get $200 fine. You know, it was like...
Back to the alleys.
This hit is just something else, though.
Even if it didn't go in, it's 21 games.
Yeah.
Like, it's 5 seconds afterwards.
And like, it's... So unsuspecting.
It's so
crazy. Hunter like saddles up kind of behind him to the side of him and just buries him like that. Even if Turgeon was expecting it, it wasn't even a clean hit.
No.
Like, it is.
How about the way Richie comes in, though? He comes in hot, eh?
Oh, yeah. There is some flying bodies. At least Dennis Vasky got involved. He didn't like to get involved in stuff like that, but he was right there. Ray, were you on the bench or on the ice?
I was on the bench.
Yeah, I was in the stands. I was part of the Aces. But that was
man, that
crazy.
Would have sent shockwaves through that ring.
The score was 5-1 at the time. I'm just looking at the bug right now.
5-1.
They're helping him off the ice.
And the thing, like, I remember after the game, everybody, you know, were so happy, right? And we're like, you know, everybody right away, how's Turge? It's not like it was a fourth-line penalty killer. We're like, how's Turge? So now we're like, oh, this is great. We got Pittsburgh, and we don't have Turge. This is going to be fabulous.
Dale Hunter.
And somehow we won.
Yeah.
I don't know. Crazy game.
That is. All right, buddy. Well, we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll tee up game 4.
Will everybody be in tomorrow? Or
I don't know.
We're not sure.
We've got our own Kawhi Leonard on our hands. The guy, he doesn't know if he wants to play, and he's got his own crew that are making decisions for him.
Self-diagnosed injury.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if he was mad that, you know, or angry that I decided to toilet seat him yesterday, because I'm going to toilet seat him again next week, too.
Oh, for sure.
Something. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, he deserves all of it. And he'll come in tomorrow and he'll be like, I heard you guys chirping me. It's like, yeah, absolutely we did. And we're going to do it anytime you take a day
off.
While
we were at work? Yeah. While we were at work and you were at home?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. We did.
We chirped you. Nonstop. Like, after I had knee surgery, he carved me up and down the wall.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I had knee surgery. I'm out like a light on Percocets. And this guy's like, he's so soft. What a loser for not coming in. This guy's just sitting on his couch doing nothing.
Yeah.
And he'll be disappointed that we took shots at him.
Well,
anyway.
Well, he better not miss tomorrow or it's going to be open season.
Oh, dude. I hope he does, just for the material.
No, it's very close to his place. It's just a quick walk over.
Oh, that's
right.
We're down at the
downtown,
ACC tomorrow. So
he'll be there.
Oh, he'll make it for that. Yeah, you're right.
He'll find a way. All right, buddy.
Have a good one.
Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst.